Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. Tonight, I want to again welcome us to the second part of this series, Agape. In a few minutes, we want to look at the word together. Now, even as we're looking at the word, I believe firmly that we're not just going to have our eyes of understanding enlightened. We're also going to be seeing practical things and practical steps that were missed in the past. Are we together now? And we're also going to be, by the grace of God, receive some sort of reproof in the name of Jesus. By the grace of God, we're also going to reprove some sort of corrections in the name of Jesus. And I believe that by the grace of God, that we will begin to see the things that we really ask, that we can lay our hands upon, even as we look at the world together tonight. So if you come to that point in time where you recognize your word, or where you recognize that belongs to you, and you are led to pray, I mean, please pray by all means. Now, last week we started talking about agape. And I told us that the word agape is a divine word that was coined by the Lord Jesus himself. It was not a word that existed in any literature in the world long before the Lord Jesus came. It did not exist before then. It did not exist before the Lord Jesus used that word. So the Lord Jesus coined the word agape. So, you know, many people believe that Jesus didn't speak in tongues, you know. There's this understanding, perhaps Jesus didn't speak in tongues, you know. But agape is a word that was not in human language. It was a revelational word. It was a revelational word. Are we together now? And that is why there are almost no direct interpretation of it in the English language or in any known language. Hallelujah. This is why there are no direct, definitions or interpretations. But we have been able to get three. The first one, charity, closest. The second one, sharing. The third one, giving. Now, we looked at the importance of God's love last week. And by the grace of God this week, we want to look at another dimension of agape. Now, we must understand this, that God is not just our Father, okay? He is a planner. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Quickly, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. God bless you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, God is not just our Father. He's a planner. And not just any kind of planner. He's a master planner at that. And rather than God to single-handedly every time by himself sort issues one by one, he prefers to create systems. Are we together now? Now, it is common knowledge that God has created systems to maintain everything that he has created. Hallelujah. God has created systems to maintain everything that he has created. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm still waiting for it to be displayed. So one of the systems that God created, okay, for the replenishment of the earth, I would get it now. He's sowing. One of the systems that God created for the replenishment of the earth is sowing. Now look at this. In Genesis chapter 1, in the story of creation, God said, let the heart bring forth fruit of any kind, of its kind. Let the heart bring forth fruit, and these fruits should carry their own seeds. Hallelujah. And God made the fruits and the herbs and everything, even stubborn grass, I would get it now, brings forth, you know, its own seed, even within the leaf, that it may be able to multiply. So when he created man, he put the seeds that will make it possible for man to multiply in the man. So he has created a system of replenishment Are we together now? So as far as the earth is concerned, if anything is going to be multiplied, it must first leave the hands of the owner. Spiritually speaking now, if anything is going to be multiplied, it has to die. Hallelujah. It has to die. It has to die. Now, this is what Jesus said. I verily, verily, I speak unto you, except a seed falls into the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Except it falls into the ground and die. It is a system. So sowing is not just about farming. It is not just about agriculture. It is God's system for replenishment. It is God's system for replenishment. Now, 1 John 3:17, it says, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, verse 16 of that scripture, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 now. Let me read from my end. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 now. Thank you, Father. Now it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Now look at this. Hereby perceive we. The word perceive means that we experience or we have an understanding or we can see. We have the evidence. Yes, that's the word. We perceive. That is, we can see because we have an evidence that gives us a perception. So this is how we perceive the love of God. Okay. Because he laid down his life for us. So we know God's love because God laid down his life for us. Please don't say, what is Pastor saying tonight? Is it not Jesus that laid down his life for us? We must understand that it was God that was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself, and he has commended unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Romans chapter 5. Is there? I would go there now. So it was God that was working through Jesus. It was God that was working through Jesus. So hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now hear this. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So how are the brothers going to perceive our love? If the same way we perceive the love of God is that he laid down his life for us, literally. I was going to now. He says the way the brothers are to perceive our love for God, or the way God is to perceive our love for him, I was going to now, is that we do the same for the brothers. Now, literally, you may not need to die for the brothers. You may not need to die literally from the brothers, but it means that you will need to die to the flesh for the brothers. You will need to die physically, practically, to the flesh. Now, if this does not happen, you're going to be led by the flesh as a believer. And this is one of the major challenges that we have in the body of Christ. So we have people that are led by their senses and not by the Spirit. Hereby we perceive the love of God in that he died for us. And so if we are to perceive, if God is to perceive his our love for him now, we have to die for the brother. Not physically, not necessarily physically. But you must learn to die to the flesh. I was going now. Now verse 17 now explains it clearly. It says, whoever has this world's goods, because then he says, lay down our life as a burden. It might be, it might be tough for us to handle. But then he explains further. He says, whoever has this world's good. I was going now. Whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him. He says, how dwells the love of God in him? So you have resources of this world. I want to get it now. And you see a brother in need. Now, who is a brother? A brother is a fellow partaker of the kingdom of God. A born again believer like you. A carrier of the eternal life of God like you. Now, that's your brother. So it will take something. I want to get it now. It will take you to be dead to the flesh for you to release the resources you have. I want to get it now. To somebody that you are seeing in need. However, this is one dimension of giving. I want to get it now. That you give to the brothers, not because of anything, but because you love them. This is the dimension of giving. This is the dimension of giving. To give because we love the brethren. But that is not the only dimension of giving. I was gonna now. So today I want us to look at dimensions of giving. We're looking at giving as it is, but we're looking at it in dimensions. I was gonna now. So there is a dimension of giving that is based solely upon the love of God. I told us last week that all giving is either love, faith, or love and faith in action. So there is a dimension of giving that is in love, and there is a dimension of giving that is as a result of faith. Are we together now? And there is a dimension of giving that combines the two. Praise God. So the dimension of giving that is of love may not have certain expectations. Let me just talk about it clearly now. So the dimension of giving that is based solely upon love. You give not because you are expecting, you give because you love. That is one. But there is a dimension of giving that is based on faith. Are we together now? You give because you have expectations. That is another. We're going to be looking at it separately. And then there's a dimension of giving that combines the two. But all giving is giving. Hallelujah. Whoever has these world's goods and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how can you say the love of God dwells in you? And wherever the love of God does not dwell, the Spirit of God does not operate. I repeat, wherever the love of God does not dwell, the Spirit of God does not operate. In fact, the first evidence of the Spirit of God operating in us, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, is that the love of God is in us. The first, I repeat, it is not the drama, it is not the falling down, it is not the anointing. I'm being honest with you, the first evidence that the Spirit of God is at work in us, not just in us. That the evidence that the Spirit of God is at work in us, even as we go in our daily lives, is the manifestation of love in our lives. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. That hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Spirit of the living God. I will together now, brethren. Now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 26. Verse 23. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Listen to this. This is his commandment. Okay, let's start from verse 22 now. It says, and whatever we ask, okay, let's start from here. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is how you become a born-again believer, and love one another when you become a born-again believer, as the Lord Jesus has given us commandment. So there is a dimension of us just loving because it is the commandment of God, and his commandment is not grievous. We have looked at the scriptures last week. We've looked at it very clear, very carefully, trying to understand what Jesus was trying to say when he mentioned love. So I'm telling us this evening that there is a dimension of giving, because love, okay, is translated charity, sharing or giving. Charity, sharing or giving. So there is a dimension of giving that is based on love. That is, it is love in action. I want to get it now. There is a dimension of giving. You agree with me that not all giving is charity. I want to get it now. Not all giving is charity. But all giving that is acceptable to God, as I said earlier, is either love, faith, or love and faith in action. So let's take it one by one. Let's take love first. So when it comes to the giving that is based on love, it is based solely on the commandment of love. This is the giving that requires you seeing your brother in need. Are we together now? And giving unto the brother. You know, this kind of giving, you don't give because you expect to receive in return. In fact, this kind of giving, you don't give because you are expecting an harvest. Yet, you will still receive an harvest. Are we together now? So this kind of giving, you are giving because of the love of God that is in you. You are not giving in a way to in a bid to bribe God. This kind of giving, you can give anyone you see in need that is a brother, and you give to them. It is recorded for you. This is what the Bible calls good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, please. Can somebody display Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? This is what the Bible refers to as good works, giving unto the brethren. So when you contribute to anything that edifies the brethren with your own resources, it is considered as giving, not because you expect anything in return. Now, this kind of giving attracts reward both on earth and in heaven. Are we together now? Now, the first reward that this kind of giving attracts on earth is that it will become easy for you to have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God. The Bible says that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. I have discovered that only the people that are able to dwell in the love of God are able to manifest as gods on earth. Are we together now? Hallelujah. Through study and observation of many men, many mighty men of God, and even many secular men, even in the secular world, rather, it is true, men who can't dwell in love can't dwell in God. You can't, it is impossible. So there is a key that we may miss. We are missing this key many times, and it's one of the reasons why we are crying for mercy up and down. We are missing this key thing every time, and it is the reason why we feel that mercy is all we need. So we are crying for mercy every time, up and down, like going from one prayer mountain to another, when we are missing his commandment. Love one another. So, and the Bible makes it clear, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. I want to ask you, if you were to be dwelling in God, would you still need his mercy? Think about it. I'm asking you directly now. If you were to be dwelling in God, would you still need God's mercy? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the workmanship of God that had been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So what this means is that if you do not have good works, listen to this, it would not translate in your life because you would not be able to operate the life of God that is in you. This is what Jesus was trying to say in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. So we should ask one another, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is God's way of doing things. It includes his laws, it includes his statutes, it includes his ways of doing things. And the Bible says that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. Hello? And the center of the gospel of Christ is love. Ah. Is somebody listening to me? So this is one of the reasons why we have more churches. We have more people praying on prayer mountains and less prayers being answered, because we have missed love and replaced it with, I don't know what to call it, all sorts of things. Can somebody say, I am born of love? I live God's love. So the reason we are created is unto good works. If you were to create a chair, hallelujah, if you created a cushion chair that people should sit on in your living room, I'm going to get it now, and you know it has just been there all this while, and every time people try to sit on it, you don't know what happens. There just seems to be nail pointing out of the chair and people are unable to sit on it. Would that chair be useful? What would you do to the chair? You get it out. You are his workmanship. Can somebody say, I'm God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the first dimension of giving. There is no going around it. It has a direct effect to the relevance, to your relevance as a believer in Christ. As a matter of fact, it determines a lot whether you are going to get your prayers answered or not. Let's look at that First John again. First John chapter 3 from verse 18. Now, First John chapter 3 from verse 18. Listen to this. He said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. That is, let us not love in with our mouths and just say, I love you. Or neither in tongues, okay? But in deed and in truth. Let us love indeed, not indeed as in the word indeed together. Let us love in action, because the word indeed here means in action and in truth. Now, you can't love in action without dealing with the flesh. I mean, you can't love in action without the flesh being dead. I want to get it now. And when we say the flesh being dead, many people do not realize that what leads to the death of the flesh is what the Bible calls the salvation of your soul. Are we together now? What leads to the death of the flesh is what the Bible calls the salvation of your soul. And the salvation of your soul will only happen, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when your mind is transformed by God's word. Shall I repeat that? So the level of your understanding of God's word will determine the level to which your flesh is dealt with. So you can put your flesh under, you can put your flesh to subjection only at the level to which you understand God's word. I will do it now. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And verse 19 says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. This is how we know that we are of the truth. That means we are of Christ Jesus, because Jesus is the truth now. He says, and we shall assure our hearts. Emphasis on assure our hearts. You compare this to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. He says, hope does not make it ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. Hope does not make it ashamed. Here again, he says, we are assured our heart before him because we have love. Now, verse 20, he says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Are we together now? Verse 22, he says, whatever we ask, we receive. So we ask and we receive because we dwell in love. He says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the criteria for asking and receiving is what the Bible is talking about in First John chapter 3 and verse 23 now. The criteria for asking and receiving. He says, and this is his commandment. One, that you should become born again. There are many people in the church going from one prayer mountain to another, trying to pray to God, and they are not born again. And they think it is the man of God that has a problem when they are not born again. They don't understand what it means to be born again. I want to get it now. That if you believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, this is what it means to be born again. I want to get it now. Now, the second thing is to love one another. So if these two things are missing in your life, there is a possibility that you pray and you don't receive answers. Is somebody listening to me tonight? If these two things are missing in your life, there is every possibility that you are not going to receive the answers to your prayers when you pray. You know, I love this scripture so much because it gives so much clarity to the answers of prayers. It gives so much clarity. So you can always do a litmus test for you to understand why your prayers are not getting answered. You can always check and see for yourself. Two things are required. That one, that you are born again. Two, that you dwell in love. Hallelujah. So we must understand this. That this dimension is as important to our life in Christ Jesus as water is important to fish. Hallelujah. It is so important as water is as important to fish. If it was not important, Jesus wouldn't say, seek the kingdom of God and find righteousness along with it. Then he said, every other thing shall be added. Can somebody say every other thing shall be added? So when I say every other thing shall be added, you say amen. There is a responsibility to dwell in love. I will do it now. There's a what? Responsibility to dwell in love. I'm helping us to understand that the dimensions of love is beyond giving, but the emphasis of this series is on giving. If we were to begin to talk about love, we might spend the whole year talking about love, unraveling love. I will do it now. But our emphasis of love is on giving. So we're looking at the dimension of love that is given. So you are expected to give. This is, so giving, I want to go now. Giving, giving because we have been commanded by God to give, giving to the brethren because we have been commanded by the Lord Jesus to give, is not a grievous assignment. It's not something too tough for us to do. It just requires one thing. I would go there now. It requires one thing, that our flesh is dead. So one of the reasons, praise God, one of the reasons why men of God, children of God, find it difficult to live by this word of God is because they can't see beyond their current situation. Many times we know the things that we have gone through to get the resources that we have in our hands. So many times, I'm being honest with you, one of the reasons that many children of God are unable to part with their resources to share with them, I'm not saying you should give to a church or particular in particular, though that is part of it. I'm saying giving to the brethren that is around you that are in need. One of the reasons why we fail to live by this commandment is because we are too calculative. If I may say, calculative is the preferred English word, but the word is that we are too led by the flesh, and we are led. It is not our fault. Many times believers are led by the flesh because we have to do all our strength. We have to live by our strength. I was going to now. We have to live by our work. We have to live by the things that we do. There is a growing understanding, you know, sponsored by the kingdom of darkness, that you have to live by your own efforts. If you add an understanding that all things come to men because God gave, are we together now? It will give you an opportunity to position yourself to receive all that God has given. We're going to look at it together this evening. It gives you an opportunity to position yourself to receive all that God has given, and by positioning yourself, it becomes easy for you to release what God has given. But when you see yourself, when you see your job, you see the things you do as the source of the resources that you have, it becomes difficult to live in love. Are we together now? Can somebody say, God is my source? Not my job, not my work, not my efforts. God is my source. I'm being honest with you. Sincerely speaking, if we take a census of believers, we'll find that a very good percentage would like to say the word that God is their source, but in reality, their minds and their spirits and their bodies do not believe this. They might even come and begin to show you Proverbs. They can even try to use scripture to try to convince themselves that they live by their efforts. Now, these mentalities, we find it will be difficult. I'm telling you, it is Satan that sponsored it. It is sponsored by the kingdom of darkness for you to think that you live by your own efforts. And because you think that, you believe that, you live that way. When Jesus said something very clear, see, Matthew 6:33 is not a reality in the life of the ordinary or of the normal believer, because first and foremost, he has failed to realize God as his source. Can somebody say again, God is my source? Louder now, God is my source. Confidently, can you say one more time, God is my source? You know, I listened to a testimony from Pastor Mrs. Kingsley. She was talking about her husband, herself, their marriage at some point in time in their lives, when she said that Pastor was already on TV at the time. That Pastor was already on TV at the time, but at the same time, they couldn't afford toothpaste at all. And it was on TV. Now, she said something. She said that at that point in time, they would begin to, she made a lot of funny statements about the things that they had to do at that time. But she said something that struck me. She said, at that time, I could be complaining that this man has brought me from my father's house to come and suffer. But she said that I think I need to begin to look at how to help this man, because he's not my source. God is my source. And so many times we make these mistakes, and this is why many times even our young ladies are making these mistakes, and it's crushing marriages. They marry because they believe that the husband is their source. Listen to this. Anyone that you try to give the responsibility of God will fail. Try to pass the responsibility of God to any man. I was going to now. You have put the man in trouble. By yourself, you put the man in trouble. Because no man can carry the responsibility of God. Hallelujah. No man. So make no mistake, God is your source, not your business. Sometimes when you are asked to make commitments, every time you are talking, you are thinking even about your finances, you do not limit it to the things that you can do. You do not limit it to your business, because your business is not your source, it is God. God has just given you that business so that it can provide something. Are we together now? It can give you beyond what the business is providing. Now, I speak with you sincerely. This is not a license to become irresponsible. Hallelujah. This is not a license to become irresponsible. Not a license to completely ignore responsibility and diligence in the place of work. This is not a license to do any of that. No. Your work, your job is your contribution to the growth of the economy and to the growth of the world generally. I'll go together now, but it is not your source. This is what we're saying. So it is one thing to be responsible, to be a responsible citizen and a responsible ambassador of God on earth. Are we together, brethren? Are we together now? It is one thing to see, to be responsible, but not to rely on the income that comes from that place of responsibility as your source. I am emphasizing on this because many are in that trap. If you find yourself in that trap, it becomes difficult for you to live in love. There is nothing they can tell you. Every time you see somebody in need, you are reminded of your own need. Every time you see somebody in need, you are reminded instantly of the limited ability that you have to give. Because you can't see God as your source. Praise the Lord. So you can live in love. This is what we're saying tonight. You can live in love. There's a very interesting scenario about the Lord Jesus. I can't find that scripture now, but you can help me if you can. A very interesting scenario where he fed, 5,000 men with three fishes and five loaves of bread. If you can help me. Find that scripture. Now, Jesus was in the midst of a lot of people. You know, the Bible says 5,000 men. We should understand that wherever there are 5,000 men, there will be at least nothing less than 7,000 women. And not to now talk about the children there. So let's say a total of the people there will be around 10,000. Because the men alone were 5,000. So let's say women and children, 5,000, 10,000. Now, Jesus was in the midst of 10,000 people. Surely he does not have all of the food to feed 10,000 people. And now I know the Lord Jesus was rich because he had to be rich for him to have an accountant. I'm also sure that he was not carrying cash that was enough to feed 10,000 people. He definitely wasn't in a position to do any of those two. And when the disciples came to him, this was what informed the disciples. This is the information the disciples had in their minds when they came to him and said, these people are hungry. What do we do? That even if we were to go into the cities to buy food for them, would it be enough? So they were looking at the money in their hands. Are we together now? As the source. They were looking at the available resources as the source of provision. But Jesus said, you feed them. And they began to wonder, what is this guy talking about? Where does he want us to see the money to feed these people? Where does he want us to to get food? And when they began to look around, they got a seed. Somebody said they got a seed. They got a seed. And so when they brought the seed to the Lord Jesus, I was going to now, he took the seed to the source and multiplied it. That miracle was not recorded just so you didn't know that he is Christ. It was recorded for a pattern, for you to know that there is a system that exists in Christ Jesus that is able to multiply what he is willing to give up. Are we together, men? Are we together, sons of God? And the Lord Jesus said, hallelujah. The Lord Jesus said, let me not get ahead of myself. He said that he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I said, he that believeth on me at the same time, he will do the same works that I do and greater works than this. So that means you have the same multiplication system that the Lord Jesus had access to turn five loaves and three fishes to feed over 10,000 people. You have the same multiplication system. You know the difference is that Jesus understood how it works. He did not understand how it works. Hallelujah. So, you can live in love. This is the first dimension. Giving. as has been commanded. It is crucial to the experience of God in your life. It is crucial to the manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life. It is crucial to your growth as a person. It is crucial to your prayer life as a person. Please make no mistake. It does not matter that you can pray for long. Hallelujah. Make no mistake. It does not matter that you can pray for long hours if answers do not follow your prayers. It does not make any sense. It makes no sense that you can pray for long hours if you can't receive answers. If your prayers do not bring in answers, there is no reason for you to think your prayer life is growing. So the signal of a growing prayer life, listen to me, everybody. The signals or the signs of a growing prayer life is that results follow. Are we together now? The signal, the sign, is that results follow when you pray. So when you are praying and results don't follow, are we together now? Your prayer life is not growing. It does not matter whether you can spend longer hours in prayer now. So being able to spend longer hours in prayer is not a sign that your prayer life is growing. Is somebody listening to me? The purpose of prayer, are we together now, is not longevity. The purpose of prayer is communication, is a channel. Are we together now? Is a channel to demonstrate God's power on the earth. Is a channel to receive all that God has provided. Are we together now? Is not just longevity. Many people think of prayer as communicating with God, which is wonderful. Yes, prayer is communicating with God, but who says you can't communicate with God without praying? God dwelleth in you. Are we together now? You can communicate with God even without praying. When you are meditating on God's word, you are communicating with God. The purpose, I'm emphasizing again so that you may understand. So I want you to sit down and check your prayer life, sincerely. This is the true test of a growing prayer life, that results follow when you pray. And this can only happen when you dwell in love. I've told us the major obstacle to dwelling in love, we have mentioned it. I'm re-emphasizing these things tonight. I'm not trying to be in a hurry and not glossing over it so that we can get it. Jesus said, you will know the truth and then the truth will set you free. So I'm re-emphasizing this. That a man that is going to dwell in love, that is a believer in Christ Jesus, who is going to dwell in love, must get free from the ideology and mentality that resources come to him because of his efforts. When you are free from this ideology and mentality, are we together now, brethren? When you are free from this ideology and mentality, it becomes able to see God as your source. And if indeed God, the owner of all things on earth, is your source and is the one that has commanded you to share what you have, you would not think twice before you share. You know, I like to say this a lot. I have a younger one. I have a younger brother. It's just like, he's a brother in church, brother in Christ, but he's a lot younger than I am. He does something that amazes me a lot. Now, I've shared this testimony some time ago. And then this brother keeps doing it all the time. Now, every time he receives a gift, listen to this. Every time, it has become every time now. I can see every time now. Every time he receives a gift, he finds somebody to bless immediately. There is nothing too big for him to give. I'm talking about a 14-year-old boy. I look at him and I be like, this guy, this is such a wonderful thing you have learned since when you are little. There is absolutely not. Today was celebration day in church, and so we shared gifts amongst one another. And then, you know, He received a gift. Are we together now? And the gift he received after sharing his own that he has brought, he gave it, he did not take out of it, he gave them out again. That's a 14-year-old boy. So, do not live by your own effort. Do not try to get things done by your own effort. Do not try to handle your own finances by your own understanding. God is your source. If you can acknowledge God as your source, are we together now? If you can acknowledge God as your source and you do his commandments, then he would enlarge your coast. Then all the other things will be added unto you. In fact, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. So it means that if you have enough for today and there is something you can keep for tomorrow and you see someone that is hungry, give them what you have kept for tomorrow. Now that's serious. It takes a man to trust God seriously before he can actually do that. I was together, brother. Our time is fast spent. We have just about 15 or 16 more minutes. So we cannot take the other dimension of giving today. So we take the dimension that is of giving. I mean, the dimension of giving that is of faith by the grace of God next week. This is where we talk about the practice of giving to receive. Because sincerely speaking, receiving must follow giving. Giving is complete without receiving. Now, Satan may not want you to hear this or believe this. He tries his best to confine us only to one dimension of giving where we don't expect to receive. Are we together now? Where we don't expect to receive. But I'm showing you that there is a dimension to giving that includes receiving. And there is a way to practice this day in, day out, and grow in that area. We're going to look at it next week, Sunday, by the grace of God. But for today, we are focusing on this. That first and foremost, if you are going to be able to operate giving by, you know, faith, you must first understand giving by love. Yeah, that's it. If you are going to walk in the dimension of giving by faith, then you must understand the dimension of giving by love. How many people want to grow in their spiritual life? How many people want to grow in their everyday life? How many people, you just need to understand, many problems that we face in life are caused by strife. Many of the problems that we face is strife that caused it. So the only remedy to strife is God's love. The only remedy to strife is God's love. The only remedy to strife is God's love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So what would happen to you is this. I was going to now. If you can manage to dwell in love, if you can manage to live love daily. See, this is why Satan is against this exactly so much. Because it means that if you are able to dwell in love, it enables you to dwell in God according to the Bible. Now, a man that is dwelling in God, I was going to now, is automatically protected from all evil of any kind. Automatically. I mean, you would not even need to pray a single prayer of protection any day of your life. Hello? Would you be in God? Is it possible for anything to come and arm you in God? You will not need to pray a single prayer of protection all of your life. You would not need to live in fear of any reason, fear of anything all of your life. If you can dwell in love. So to tell you that the absence of giving as a form of love, giving, as a form of, I'm not here to talk about, I'm not teaching a class. I'm not here to talk about advantages and disadvantages of giving. I was going to now. The absence of giving in love, the absence of it creates the very real and genuine problems that we face as individuals, as church today. the very problems. There is a lack of power because there is a lack of law. There is a lack of manifestations because there's a lack of love. There's a lack of solutions coming from believers. There is a lack of manifestation as lights of the world because there is a lack of love. We are not manifesting as light of the world to cause strife of any kind. We manifest as light of the love, I mean light of the world from a place of love. I know many people carry the understanding that when we have so much, we'll get, we'll be able to give. It's a lie. If you cannot give in the ones that you have, there's nobody that's going to release greater things to you. Let me repeat. If you cannot give with the little God has released unto you, he's not going to release the real deal to you. Jesus said, if you are not faithful in mammon, who is going to release unto you true riches? If you are not faithful in mammon, since small money, who is going to release true riches to you? So, as a believer in Christ Jesus, you have to now learn to cultivate the practice of love as a commandment, as God's righteousness to manifest as a child of God. So we are not giving because we are trying to bribe God. I was gonna now, we're not giving just because we want to enrich other people. If you make you feel any better, begin to seek out brethren in your environment and begin to bless them. Now, the question is this: do you have something to give? Yes. Because I realized that I must talk about this before we close this meeting. You always have something to give. Because I realized that all along when we've been saying giving, the only thing coming to many people's mind is the resource is money. But giving includes all kinds of resources. Your time is a resource. Your intellectual understanding is a resource. Your intellectual ability is a resource. Your skill is a resource. The opportunities you have access to and others don't have access to is a resource. I would get it now. So when you see your brother have needs of the things that you have in abundance, there's no point trying to show off to that person. Give. So if this is true, then there is no point trying to wear your best clothes to church. You should be ashamed. Now listen to this. I'm being honest with you. We should be ashamed to come to church all decked and adorned when we have people that do not have two change of clothing in amongst us. We should be ashamed. Honestly. In the world, look at this. In the world, the rich and the poor exist. And there is a stark difference between them once you see them. There is a rich, where by their appearance you shall know them, the rich and the poor. And you come to the church, you find the same thing. Where then is the love of God? Even in the church of God, you come on Sunday for Sunday service, you see the rich in the corner, you see the poor, you can recognize them. It should not be so. In the beginning of the church, it was not so. And so we wonder why it seems as if God is not with us in our services. He will not be where there is no love. Also to say we are not the ones dwelling in love. So endeavor to share the resources that you have. Because God is your source. And if it is going to multiply, you are going to have to share. Lastly, John chapter 10 and verse 10, last scripture for tonight, even as we pray. Now, Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, the reason I came is so that you may have life. Somebody say, have life. The reason I came is so that you may have life. And then he said, so that you may also have it abundantly. I came that you may have life, one, and that you may be able to reproduce this life. So you can have life and live in limitations. Because you did not understand the abundant life. He said, I came that you may have life and then be able to multiply it. Because to have abundance of something means that you are able to multiply it. Or it means that the thing is able to multiply. Now, he also told you that if life is the reason I came, that life is also known as the king and the system to the multiplication of that life is God's righteousness. And he said, made it clear, love ye, I write unto you a new commandment. If I come to give you a new life, then a new life must have a new commandment. I was gonna now. I give unto you a new commandment. Why? Because I am giving unto you a new life when you receive me. So I write unto you a new commandment because you have now received the life. This commandment is going to aid the multiplication of the life. So any joy you have received in Christ Jesus and is not multiplying, is dying in your hands, is happening because you are not sharing. Are we together now? This happens even when it comes to ordinary testimonies. When God does something for you and you refuse to share, I mean the testimonies, there is every possibility that it might die in your hands. What God has given to you can only multiply when you give. I repeat, what God has given unto you can only remain with you and multiply when you dwell in God. Let me put it that way. Because it is God that gave it to you, you can only multiply it when you are in God. You can only continually have more of it when you are in God. And what it means to be in God is to be in love. Tonight we are going to pray. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. There is a two-step verification to the absence of disgrace. There is something that can cause you not to live a disgraceful life as a believer. And it is to have an assurance. And that assurance only comes to pass because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. So we can live a disgraceful life as a believer. So it is not enough to shout, I shall never be in disgrace. Listen to me. There is a key to it. Jesus told Peter, I will give unto you keys of the kingdom. There is a key to it. It is not, and the key is not to shout, I shall never be disgraced. The key is to live in love. Are we together now? There is a key to it. Can we begin to ask forgiveness tonight in every way we have stepped out of God? Can we begin to tell our Father we are sorry? In every way we have stepped out of love. We are praying now. We are praying. We are praying. Renunciar e cabimano chabrandiri me ne pandure bedekedia sopa.